Welcome back to another Edge God In podcast. Thank you for carving out time in your day and in your to-do list to Edge God In. For more podcasts and information to support your personal excellence in Christ, our mission here at Edge God In is to champion your human potential in Christ. Please visit us at edgegodin.com. This is the podcast that supports those skill sets, techniques, invitations for learning and growth so that you can champion your human potential in, with, and through Christ. Today's focus is a good one, and it's one that we experience on a daily basis. It has to do with love and forgiveness. Love and forgiveness. Believe it or not, books on love oftentimes are not best-selling books. How to Learn How to Love Better. Not the top-selling, best, most sold books on the market today. Isn't that interesting? And yet, it's the very thing that we long for as human beings. Do you love me? Do you see me? Do I matter? Am I forgiven? Can I forgive you? These are all invitations for growth in our relationship with the Lord. So today's topic is entitled, Want More Love? Seek Forgiveness. And the learning objective for today is to understand the powerful link between forgiveness and love that Jesus showcased. We're going to be very laser focused on our scripture study today. And it comes from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. Again, it's Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. And this will be, the scriptures will be posted underneath today's podcast as well. Please feel free to download the one sheet that helps you to capture the learnings as well as to transfer the learnings into action, so that you can experience that positive shift from the shiny objects and the trinkets we often cling to into the freedom that Christ died to give us. As Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. May we stand firm and not allow ourselves to be burdened by the yoke of slavery. And for today's focus, it's the slavery of unforgiveness. Not receiving the Lord's forgiveness for ourselves, and that's living in a place of shame and guilt, as well as not offering the gift of forgiveness, and how we're told in Scripture that that rots the bones, that when we don't forgive, it's like a small virus that wreaks havoc on the functionality of our body and eventually causes dis-ease, many times mentally and as well as physically. So let's begin in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Sweet Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity to just dive, take a deep dive, a quick deep dive into a powerful parable. Well, actually, no, this isn't a parable, Lord. This is a powerful, in time, real life story that you encountered that was recorded about you when you walked the earth. Give us the strength to lean into the truths that we'll find in today's scripture, and give us the strength to unzip those things in our lives that are preventing us to forgive, as well as those thought forms and shadows within our mind that are keeping us imprisoned in shame and guilt because we haven't experienced the freedom and the cleansing, as the scriptures say, that you cleanse us from the guilt of our sin. Many times we'll focus on, oh, I've asked for forgiveness and received it from you, yet our nervous system and our thoughts and our memory still replays things that cause us to live in the prison of shame and guilt. It is for freedom that you've set us free. Give us the grace to stand firm and not allow ourselves to be burdened by the yoke of slavery, but truly unzip and step out of the burdens that we hold on to because of lack of forgiveness in our life. Help us, God. This is an area from little offenses to huge offenses in life. And we're the ones that suffer the negative ramifications when we don't forgive and when we don't receive forgiveness. So help us today. I pray for everyone that's listening into today's call that you would open up their hearts, their eyes, their ears to hear the power in your most holy word and be drawn closer to you as a result of pausing and leaning into today's study. In your most precious name we pray, amen. So let's turn to Luke chapter 7. If you're listening in and driving, you're obviously not going to be pulling out your Bible right now. So just lean in as I read these scriptures and let's see what the Holy Spirit has for us today. Luke chapter 7, verses 36. Here we go. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house. So instantly there wasn't any pause with that. Jesus went. He was asked, and this happens many times. He was asked and he went. He was asked and he went. And this is one of those cases. He was asked to eat at the Pharisee's house and he went. And this was in the region of Galilee, and he reclined at the table. So not only did he go, but he also sat at the table of this particular Pharisee and was leaning into his customs and what he had to offer and was just present. Now, there was a woman in the city who was known, she had a reputation out there, and she was known as a sinner. And when she found out that Jesus was reclining at the table of this Pharisee's house, she bought an alabaster of perfume. And she broke right into that scene without even, I don't even know how that rolled out, but he was in the Pharisee's house, and all of a sudden, this particular woman who was known as a sinner crashed the Pharisee's house and stood behind him, behind Jesus, at his feet, weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head and respectfully kissed his feet. And this was an act of signifying both affection and submission, kissing of the feet, and anointed his feet with a perfume that she had bought. Now, when Simon the Pharisee, who had invited Jesus, saw what was going on, he was actually saying to himself. So this is an important verse. So lean into this. He was saying to himself, not out loud, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is. And that he would know that this is a sinner who's touching him. That she's a notorious sinner. Therefore, she's an outcast and she's devoted to sin. Now, he's thinking this in his mind. Let's just pause here for a moment and do a little check-in. In the last 48 hours, how many thoughts have you thought that were judgments toward other people, but they didn't come out of your mouth? 10%? 5%? Have high noticing. Perhaps that's your one big takeaway. I usually preface the studies with that invitation. I forgot to do it at the beginning of today's session. And so I'm going to pause for a moment and encourage you to look for your one to three things that draw you closer to Christ today as a result of participating in today's podcast. Just look for those one to three things. Lord, what's for me today? Because there's no mistake. I'm listening to this podcast. What's for me to draw me closer to you? And perhaps it's just a reflection. Holy Spirit, I give you permission to sift me and convict my heart when I'm making those silent judgments between my two ears. Even if they don't spill out of my mouth, you know exactly what I'm thinking, and the judgment has been cast through my thought. So Jesus, answering, said to the Pharisee, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he didn't even say this outside. He was just thinking it to himself. And Jesus picked up on this. He doesn't even say, I can't believe you're thinking that. So he doesn't even jump into judgment. This is the kind of love. Love saves. Judgment repels. This is love. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. And he goes to a great extent to crash our judgment parties when we're in them. And all he says is, Simon, because he knows exactly what he's thinking, I have something to say to you. So he's in asking for permission, even with that statement. Jesus stands at the door of our heart and knocks, waiting for us to open. So he says, Simon, I have something to say to you. Simon replies, teacher, say it. Then he jumps into this parable, which is so powerful. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. When they had no means of repaying the debts, he freely forgave them both. So which of them, this is his question to Simon, so which of them will love him more? Simon responds, the one, I take it, I guess. So you can imagine what Simon's thinking here, because he knows where Jesus is going with this. The one, I take it, for whom he forgave the most. Jesus responds and says to him, you have decided correctly. So he gives this message and basically drops the mic after that. He connects with Simon, calls him out on his interior judgment that he's making, says which one will end up loving more, and the one loving the man who cleared his debt more, the one who he forgave more. So the one with the bigger debt that was forgiven and released will love him more. So then Jesus turns his attention toward the woman who's still there. Can you imagine? What is the woman doing during this time, I wonder? She's still there. Why, Jesus has turned his attention away from the woman to Simon to address and call out into the light. This is what Jesus does. He's a light bearer. He calls out into light the things that twist us inside and prevent us from true joy and freedom. Those are those judgments that we just think in our head, but we don't speak with our mouth. So today's invitation, again, is to understand first and foremost, what are your judgments that you're making throughout the day? Give the Holy Spirit permission to override you or bump you when you're making those judgments. To take a deep breath and just choose, I want to love more, Lord. So grant me the grace to forgive quicker, because forgiveness and love are linked. So he turns, so Jesus, now we're turning back to the woman. Jesus turns his attention in Luke 7:44, turns back to the woman, and he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house, but you failed to extend to me. These are the usual courtesies that are extended in the tradition at that time. When someone comes into your house, there's a certain protocol. So Jesus is calling Simon out on this, because here he's judging this woman, and he's just drawing him back to himself. The greatest teachers are those who guide people back to themselves so they can do some profound self-reflection. How's this working for you, Simon? Do you see this woman? I came into your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. What does this do? This demonstrates love, profound love. You gave me no welcoming kiss, but from the moment I came in, she's not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with just ordinary oil, but she has anointed my feet with costly and rare perfume. Therefore, I say to you, Simon, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. Then he said to her, he turns to the woman, your sins are forgiven. He turns to the woman, though your sins are many, you are forgiven. Can you imagine that moment of release in this woman's life? She's running around in the shadows of the town in guilt and shame. It's tormenting her so profoundly that she takes a risk by entering into a Pharisee's house, the place that her sins would be most exposed. And yet her torment is so profound. She goes for it because she knows the love that's coming from Jesus. And she knows that it's love that she's truly seeking that will set her free. She probably doesn't even know the full extent of it until Jesus turned to her and said, your sins are forgiven. Those who were reclining at the table, these are all of Simon's friends and colleagues hanging out with him. With them, they began to say among themselves, can you believe this? Who is this who even forgives sins? So Jesus is aware of the judgment right away, yet he is so focused on the purpose for which his heart beats, to draw people unto himself, to bring people back to the heart of God. He's so clearly focused on this that he doesn't even hear the voices around him. One of the most powerful reputations that I love about Jesus in the Gospels is this, is that he was not confined by status or the opinions of other people. Are you? Jesus was not confined by status or the judgments, thoughts, opinions of other people. He was on mission. Dear God, help us to be on mission so that our hearts would stay grounded in the mission for which they beat, so we don't rise and fall depending upon how the world is judging us at that time, so we don't get bumped off our mission to be your ambassadors. You are making your appeal for love and forgiveness in the world through our yes to serve and follow you. Grant us the strength to release the shiny objects and the trinkets, just as you did in this story. We read in Luke 7, 49 and 50, those reclining at the table said to themselves, oh my gosh, who is this that forgives sins? So right away, they're judging him. Jesus doesn't even tune in. The next verse says, Jesus turns to the woman and finishes his conversation. He says, your faith in me has saved you. Go in peace, free from the distress, the anxiety, the guilt, the shame that you have been experiencing because of your sin. That's the extended version of pulling that out just for the sake of this podcast. But basically he said, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Wow. So what is it today that you have hidden in the closet? Something that perhaps you haven't even told anybody, but yet it's a little serpent that continues to suck out your sense of joy and worth and value. Perhaps it's something you've done, said, someone you haven't forgiven, some shadow that is preventing you from stepping out of the darkness into the light, as this woman did. This is a profound invitation today for you to step out of the darkness. You might be half in the light, half in the darkness. Maybe one hand is in the darkness and the rest of your body is in the light. Either way, Jesus loves you so much. He's the hound from heaven that he wants all of you. He wants that full commitment, that full surrendering of your life into his. There is no shame in the light of his love. When you come out and you experience that sense of forgiveness and you confess your sins and you get that out of you, that it no longer is the boss of you. You are free, simply like this woman came. She came burdened, twisted by a lifestyle of living in the darkness. We don't even know the full extent of it, but we do know several times she sinned, and she sinned a lot. And Jesus looked at her and said, I say to you, you are forgiven. And he knew, it's not even recorded here that she accepted it. He just knew right away that this would set her free. And he acknowledged that she was loving much in spite of the fact that she was imprisoned by a sinful life. She loved much in spite of it. And as a result of that, she didn't care who saw her. She just came out to the light and fell at Jesus' feet. And Jesus picked up on everything. And he also mentioned, when you are forgiven a lot, you love a lot. Now, let's just look a little deeper into that phrase. Those who have been forgiven much, love much. What does that mean to you? When you have been forgiven much, the ramification of that experience, that freedom that this woman experienced, and perhaps you have experienced that freedom, the removing of the chains, things that have held you back in the past, perhaps belief systems, perhaps abuse, perhaps an identity crisis or identity theft, things that have kept you imprisoned in the past, that when you come before Christ and he removes those chains and looks into your eyes and says, I see you, you are forgiven, and you matter. The instant ramification is an igniting of profound love to places in your personality that perhaps you've kept quarantined because you were ashamed of, but now can be integrated into the fullness of the man or woman that God has called you to be in this world, to make him recognizable through you. You are his ambassador, and understanding this powerful link between forgiveness and love, if we truly, truly have confidence that those who have been forgiven much love much, then any time that we stumble or we show up with a lesser version of who we are in this world, in our behavior, in our thought life, it's an invitation to run, just as the prodigal son did. And the father ran toward the prodigal son. He decided to turn home to the father. And he didn't even know what he would experience, but yet he had confidence that he would have a better life than what he was living then. That's all he knew. And yet his expectation was far exceeded by the reality of his father's love for him. And that love transformed him and brought him back into the family. Jesus is the hound from heaven. He's after you. He's after me daily. He's not going to settle for just a half dark, half light version of us. He wants all of us. And he'll keep coming close, keep knocking. Come closer. Tell me what's on your heart. Tell me what you have hidden. Confess your sins as far as the east is from the west. He promises to forgive us our sins so that we can experience the profound gift of love and replace for that guilt and shame. So I encourage you today to lean into Christ. And remember, the last two verses that we focused on today, 49 and 50, are really profound revelation in terms of Jesus' undivided commitment to save us, from the darkness, to save us from ourselves when we've given power to the struggle or the belief system that is from the world and not from God. And he's so focused that even if people say things against him, he will finish what he started. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Well done, good and faithful servant. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So understand the powerful link between forgiveness and love that Jesus showcased in today's scripture, Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. What piece of today's podcast landed in your heart? What action do you want to commit to now moving forward in order to have confidence in the unconditional love of Christ over sin? And perhaps you're in the place of being the forgiver, because that's painful. And that's not for the weak-kneed or the faint-hearted. That takes courage to do the right thing when it feels wrong. I listened to a podcast recently from Joyce Meyer, and she said that was probably the one phrase that God laid on her heart one time, to do the right thing even when it feels wrong. Do the right thing. Forgive. Release, seek forgiveness, even when it feels wrong. Many times I've had enough Earth School experience at 52 years old, thanks be to God, because I was given 5 years to live because of advanced cancer when I was 38, so I'm very grateful for every year. And I've had enough experience to have many Earth School classes of forgiveness. The measure you use is measured to you. That's another powerful line. I remember thinking one time, there's no way I'm not going to forgive this person, because I know that that's linked to my forgiveness. It's all linked. Forgiveness is linked, and it's linked back to love when we're willing to lean into it and run to it. If you truly know that you know that you know that you know that love is the result of any act of forgiveness, asking for forgiveness or forgiving will result in a greater love than had the offense never took place, what's stopping us? Don't let guilt and shame keep you captive. Christ died to win your heart. As you reflect on Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm and don't allow yourself to be burdened by the yoke of slavery, to lack of forgiveness. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, sweet Jesus, we just thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to forgive. Thank you for the opportunity to be forgiven. It is for freedom that you've set us free. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to begin again today, quicker today than yesterday. And when we do stumble because of shiny objects, because of hurt feelings, because of our need to be right, liked, understood, because of our tendency towards sin and our tendency towards selfishness, which leads to behavior that hurts other people, forgive us. Help us to see other people the way you see us. Lord, help us to truly understand how you see us. You see us through the eyes of love, unconditional love that was so profound. You gave your life to win our heart and set us free for all of eternity. Help us to see other people the way that you see us, not for how their behavior shows up, but for who they desire to be. Give us the ability to see others the way you see us. You see us for who we desire to be. Lord, see us for who we desire to be. Because in the next 48 hours, something's going to hit us, and we're going to go from lights on following you to having our lights punched out. So we give you permission as quickly as possible to speak louder than our interior judgments towards self and other people. We are nothing without you, and with you all things are possible. We desire this freedom. Make it a reality. Help us to know how to love much by remembering the depth from which you've saved us. Those who have been forgiven much, who've experienced that freedom, love much. Also, those who have been forgiven drop the stones first. Just as you said to the group of people holding the stones to stone the woman, he who is without sin cast the first stone. So as we are aware of our own sinfulness and times an ugly behavior as a result of hurt in our life, may we transfer that to be able to offer that as quick forgiveness toward others. You've forgiven us quickly. Help us to do the same. In your most precious name we pray, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So give them heaven out there. Edge God in, because right now we are surrounded by the lion of offense and lack of forgiveness. Outshine the darkness. Make Christ your screensaver so that you can see, respond, hear those things around you through the lens of love. Love draws near, love heals, love releases, love offers fresh beginnings, love transforms lives. Forgiveness repels. Lack of forgiveness repels, shuts down, imprisons. Love or forgiveness? Love and forgiveness or lack of forgiveness? The choice is yours and holds the power to set you free or keep you captive. Lead first with love in all things, and it's a grace. Believe me, I'm in nurse school every single day, and I need God's grace. We need God's grace to make this a reality moving forward. So enjoy your gift of life today. Again, this podcast, it will be posted at edgegodin.com. you'll be able to access many other podcasts. And our mission is to champion human potential in Christ. Champion your human potential in Christ. When you're done driving or you're done doing what you're doing, if you're listening to this on the go, I invite you to take time to truly reflect and ask the Holy Spirit to show you what's for you in the scriptures, Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50, because he's always after refining and fashioning our heart after his, so that we can have joy and peace. And in the midst of suffering, we can have that strength within us that's bigger than circumstance. God's favor to you today, and I look forward to our next podcast, Edge God In, More Today Than Yesterday. Peace be with you.